Right, well, John, we were gonna say, because we haven't talked to you since July. It's already been that long, and we were trying to get
I
you
know.
on like in the summertime. So thank you so
I
much for.
know. I know. But thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I know. Like in December, it was a little crazy with tech going into the national tour, and but yeah, we're off and running now. So I'm like ready to talk to you guys.
Yes. Well,
Who's in the
and
national?
Jersey Boys Live, which if
Yeah.
we can talk about it, that'd be great. Whatever you can
Whenever you
legally
can.
talk about.
Who's in the national tour with you, John?
We've got Devin Goffman is playing Tommy DeVito with us. Matt Fauché is playing Nick Massey. He's new to the Jersey Boys kind of family. Eric Chambliss is Bob Gaudio. And we've got a lot of returning people like Justin Allbinder, who you
Oh,
guys know, playing Joe
yeah.
Pesci. Some new people peppered in here and there. Yeah, a bunch of them.
J
Bunch of them.
Justin played Frankie Valli in New York, I think,
Yeah.
last Sunday.
Oh, yeah. He filled in for what
Wow.
everything was that they were needing some swings and stuff to come in. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
that's awesome.
I've heard Devin's name. The others, I don't know, but I've heard
Well, I
Devin's name.
think Devin's been with the show for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He started out in the
Devin and
national
his wife,
tour.
Katie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Power
But so
couple.
when the show reopened in New York, I think like the second or well, the second or third time we saw it, we sat, I guess it was right before you guys went to Detroit for tech. We sat next to every we sat one row behind everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
I think I recognized
And
Bruno,
Bruno, yep.
and I was like, oh
Oh,
shit, that's Bruno
yeah.
Vita. Oh shit. And then we
That was
realized
so
that
fun.
everyone was sitting next to us.
It was so cool
Yeah.
because we
I
were
know they
just
went
like,
to the show and yeah, for sure.
were you
Sorry,
there
didn't mean to
that
cut you off.
night?
No.
No, I wasn't there that night. I came there. I went to the show on the alumni night on it was like a Monday night, I
Oh,
feel like it
when
was.
Rick and Marshall were there?
Yes, I was there when Rick
Oh,
and
so were
Marshall gave their
we.
speech. Oh my gosh.
I think we,
Yes.
oh
Oh
my
my God. Yeah.
gosh, you were there
I
that
did bump
night.
into you guys.
Oh
Yep.
wait, yeah,
Yep.
we
I
did. Oh my
remember
God,
bump
we
into
did.
you guys.
We bumped into you. We
Yes.
bumped into you. And I think you were you with Alicia or were you with Taryn?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes. I
you were
was
with
with Alicia. Yeah, because I
Yeah.
literally bumped into her when I was walking in and she was seeing the show that night for Phrase.
Okay,
And
right.
yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
That already seems like forever ago.
It was a good night. It was a good
And
night.
I could swear I saw you as Joe Pesci once on Broadway. I'm sure.
I bet you did. I bet you did.
Well,
What?
speaking of, oh,
That means
yeah.
you saw him play Joe Pesci in the final Broadway performance.
Yes, I did. I was there. Yeah, I was.
Oh,
Oh
were
my
you there?
gosh.
Were you there on January 15th of 2017?
Yes, sir.
For sure.
Where
But
was
no.
the after party?
Oh, it was at the right across the street. Was it the
Yeah.
Novotel?
Yes, at Novotel is what I could remember the name of it, but it was right across the
Novotel.
street there to like past like Gallagher's and stuff like that. And yeah.
But I think the real question is, where was the after party?
That was no, it was funny. It's funny.
That was at John Rochette's house.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that night, we talked about that night because it was a bittersweet night, with closing the show and being with everybody. We were very emotional. And so we had a party after that. And we went to another place, but I remember Taryn and I had to get up so early the next morning. So the next place we went to, we were there for literally like 5 minutes, and we were just kind of like, "All right." And everybody was, still upset about closing the show. And we were just kind of like, "Okay, well, we're gonna go get
Five
some
minutes
sleep."
later, it's
And we,
5 a.m.
yeah,
Just kidding.
exactly. It's just it was a bittersweet night, but it was yeah, not it didn't end like what you think, you
Can
know.
you tell us some more stories from Broadway? Through your time there, just on stage mishaps or, significant moments or
Oh
any
man,
funny stuff.
I just so many things. I mean, my Broadway debut is one of the things that I'll cherish forever. Just like in my life, but also in Jersey Boys lore, I feel like that, Sarah Schmidt, who was Francie, the original Francie, obviously
Oh,
a legend.
yeah. I
She,
loved her. I loved
oh
her.
my gosh, she is one of the most amazing performers, amazing people, like amazing. That
Thank you.
night, I remember when I had my debut, she said, "You inspired something in all of us, like that to remind us." That this is we're so lucky to get to do this show that we do because I guess I brought a new energy with my debut and she just said she told me like even when we closed she was like you revitalized I think the company you like really brought an energy back and
Wow.
She
it
was
really it really
great.
felt good to hear that and it really felt good to like
She
know
was
that
great.
I was a part of that
Can
I
I,
guess resurgence. Oh, go ahead.
not to interrupt you, but can I give you
No,
a Sarah Schmidt story too? I
please
met
please.
her
Oh my God.
pretty much from the very beginning. you know, as soon as Jersey Boys came. And I don't know when it was, maybe the third or fourth time I saw her, I said, oh my God, Sarah, did I tell you, how many times did I tell you that my mother's name was Sarah? And she said, every time you see me.
Yeah, right, right. One of those things you're like, every time, yeah, yeah.
But no, it was Sarah, Peter Gregis, and Mark Latino, I think, were the three that were from the show from the very, very beginning.
Peter from the very, very beginning.
Legends, just legends. I mean, I love them so much, and it brings back so many good memories. But my debut was definitely one of the biggest like memories, and I just remember the camaraderie we had backstage. It was such a good group of people. It really was. We were a family. Like we were.
So your Broadway debut was in Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
So and yeah, yeah. Wow, I mean that's just. And I think that just says something about, you know, the writing as well. There's not one single solitary character, and there are others. It doesn't make some sort of an impact.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
You know
every role.
I think, and maybe a little off topic, you know what the impact was really on me when I saw it? I mean, I did grow up with the Four Seasons. You know, I discovered them when I was 11. Sherry and 11 Other Hits was my first album. But when I first saw Jersey Boys, it's sort of like it took me through my entire life. You know, when I heard Sherry, I was still in the hospital with appendicitis. You know, when I heard Ragdoll, I was studying for my bar mitzvah. You know, sadly, when I heard Can't Take My Eyes Off You, my mom was passing away, sick and dying. When I heard My Eyes Adored You, my father passed away right after that. When I heard Oh What a Night, that's the day I passed my CPA exam. And it took me that's exactly the day I passed it. I remember it was George Michael on WABC radio. And I had just gotten the notice that I passed, and George Michael said, number one, and it was Oh What a Night. So cool. that's really what did it for me.
But
you were an athlete, man. I was total non-athlete. So you were an athlete, never really dreaming of Broadway from what I read.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I grew up in a really small town north of Cincinnati. I tell people I'm Cincinnati just because it's the closest, but it's a little north. It's called Hamilton, Ohio. And it's a little
it's a nice city name.
Cornbread
nice town.
Name. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, they're so proud of it now because of Hamilton. They are just so proud of it, like of that thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's a small little cornbread town, and I just grew up being an athlete, and I didn't really get into theater until I was in high school. I grew up a singer. My mom was just, I grew up with love of music, and my mother like really was a testament to that. And my dad, like I go the classic rock. My mom loved like the Motown and like the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. So she'd be letting me listen to that. And I grew up singing, and that was, you know, really what drove me into the theater world, because of in high school, I was an athlete. I didn't really know what I wanted to do in high school. And I was in chorus just as like one of my classes just to take, because that was the one thing where I was like, I could just go sing. You know, that's fun to do for an hour. And my junior year, I was in chorus, and the choir teacher was also the theater director, was like, hey, we're doing a musical. Do you like to act? And I was like, well, I love movies. I love to I love watching like Leonardo DiCaprio is awesome. Like I could do that, you know? And she was like kind of like that. If you want to like, can you sing while, you know? And I was, so anyways, long story short, I auditioned for it and she cast me in it. And she was like, well, we need guys and we want you to do it. And it was like, ever since then, I got the bug. I mean, I didn't think I wanted to do it professionally at first, but I definitely knew it was something that I loved and I wanted in my life.
What show was that, John?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say it was a Fiddler on the Roof was my first.
Oh, really?
It's such an amazing story and such an amazing show.
Were you Muttle?
No, I was Fiedka. They needed one of the Russian guys. Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So
man.
I have.
Don't get me started.
I have a comment and I have a question.
Yeah, please.
So I remember you said before that, you know, you just, you know, about not, oh, you know, doing theater, you know, doing music. You wasn't sure if it was something you wanted to do, and then when you got to college, you were like, oh, I didn't realize you could study theater. You could do all that. So, and I know that was something that was very special for you. You're like, okay, because people told you, yeah, you could do this. Go study it. And you were like, so I would love for you to speak about that. And then I have another question, but if you could please just talk about that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think that was my biggest fear is, you know, so when I got out of high school, I was doing shows and like, I was doing like community theater shows after that. And, you know, I was going to one of these community colleges near Ohio, just kind of like taking classes, Ohio. Getting credits. Yeah. Ohio. and just getting credits. And I was doing theater at the time and we were doing the show. I remember I was doing a production of Godspell in this small town in Ohio. And one of the guys was like, you know, you should like go to school for this and do this and like go to New York. And then I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, you can go to school and like really learn to be an actor and like learn more about it. And at the time I was like, well, that sounds, I mean, I don't really know if I could do this for a living. I mean, I don't know if I'm good enough, basically is what I thought. And so I kind of just kept doing shows. And when I made the decision that I was going to like really go for it, it was probably a year after that. And I was like, I'm going to audition for these schools. I looked at these programs and I was like, I'm going to audition for these schools. If I don't get into these schools, I know I'm not good enough and I'm going to go do something else. And I got into both the schools and I kind of had my choice of which one I wanted to go to. And I ever fell in love. Yeah. You know what I mean? I went to school and I cultivated and moved to New York. Got in a little show called Jersey Boys. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
We have not, yeah, actually. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's my love of theater was like the spark. And then it was like engulfed in flames. You know what I mean?
Looking
it's a weird
back,
metaphor, but
no, it's a great metaphor. Come on.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah. So looking back though, you know, at your kind of the ultimatum you gave yourself, do you, because like, you know, just for, you know, just, you know, for the sake of the argument, let's say you didn't, you know, get into any of the programs you went to, do you think that was a fair ultimatum that you had given yourself?
No. And I think about that all the time. And I think about that. I think at the time I was so driven. It was weird. When I got out of high school, I was so driven and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I was like, I know I want to do something that's going to make an impact. And I had that drive. All of us have that. And I think that's why I gave myself that ultimatum. And looking back, I was like, that wasn't fair. Like, I should have, you know, looked out at some other schools. Like, I think I was looking, my spectrum was also like very tunnel vision too. I could have been like, there's a lot of other great schools that I could have even looked at that I probably didn't even have to audition for. Like, I've just gone and like taken some classes for, you know what I mean? I could have, there were a lot of other options that I didn't even see at the time. So
the Don Costa, I think that was like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have another question. Kind of going back, please, to, you know, your school days. This is also kind of a personal question, because you said you were an athlete. And what's funny, mm-hmm, is people who know me, I tell them that my bar mitzvah theme was sports. They're like, oh, is that a joke? No, it was not a joke. My bar mitzvah theme was, but like, it was just sports, just general sports. There was like a football on one table, a baseball on another table, basketball, and just sports, you know. But
I love it. I love
anyway. It. So, did you get any when you started making that transition into theater and, you know, arts and everything, did you get any pushback or did you have to deal with any bullying, you know, in school?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I've had my fair share of bullies. You know, there's always that like homophobia, especially, I mean, growing up in the Midwest. I mean, there's always that thing, you know, and I think was the biggest thing. I actually had, if you're out there, coach, no, I'm kidding. I had a coach of mine who I was going to like off season football workouts. And at the time, it was going into my senior year when I really got the theater bug. And I was like, wait, there's a play in like the fall, like a straight play. Oh, I want to do a straight play. And so it conflicted with some of the football things. And right. I remember he made me choose. Mm-hmm. And I chose going to the school play and stuff like that. And like, I was
bye
like,
bye baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, and it for like the month or so that I was doing the football season ran for a long time, but the month or so he was just buried, you know, didn't let me play, was like, you know, I was like benched and, you know, all the stuff and just really shitty to me. And it was never, yeah, it was. And because of that, you know, going into that, like, you know, some of the other guys were like, why are you doing it then? Like, why are you doing the play? Like, that's stupid. Why are you doing that? Like, you know,
right.
Basically, basically questioning my things that I wanted to do just because of this. This is the most important thing that they can think of. You know what I mean?
I think the worst thing was, I mean, for me, I mean, Gia and I grew up in South Florida, which is, you know, may not be a small town. There are a lot of small-minded people there, even in South Florida, in Miami and Boca. Yeah. You know, I went to a Jewish private school growing up and doing theater, you know, transitioning into doing that, kids would always ask me if I was, you know, what are you, gay? And I'm like, you know, I don't happen to be gay. I didn't happen to be gay, but, you know, somehow, you know, people, you know, kids, you know, they have a whatever. So
yeah, why are those stereotypes there? You know what
exactly.
I mean? It's people think that you're associated with stereotypes, which is very insensitive and very like, because what I mean, it's just single-minded. You know what I mean? It's yeah. they're not broadening their mind to be like, oh, maybe, you know, someone who maybe you just like doing that for a living. You know, maybe you just like doing these things. You know what I mean? It's exactly. Very mean. People are mean. You know, bullies.
Can I make a comment on that? Just you know, working as an adult, I worked with a fellow who questioned almost everybody, especially people who weren't married. Is he gay? Is she gay? And you know, I worked with another woman. Neither of us were married, and he didn't outrightly say, "Are you guys gay?" But he looked at everybody else that we worked with. And then after this, and he left the room, my other colleague said to me, "I wonder what his sexual orientation is." And I said to her, "Look, he has 4 children." And her comment was, "So what?" So, you know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, why is that even part of the conversation? It's just like, do you have talent? Do you not? Are you enjoying yourself? You know,
exactly. It's something that was a mean thing that kids did, you know, because of stereotypes, you know what I mean?
Right.
People just.
Yeah.
Well, you know what was interesting? Were you guys at John Lloyd's concert on Sunday night?
No,
we weren't able to make it.
I saw the live streaming, and he was just in general talking about how now, you know, you can be who you are. You know, it's a lot different than many years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he wasn't specific or anything like that, but that was a comment and, you know, it was quite a bit of applause in the audience. I live streamed it too. I didn't make it because of the snow.
Right.
So, yeah. And that's such a true statement too. And he's a pioneer. He's an amazing performer in person. And yeah,
and
for sure.
Well, two Johns playing Frank.
I have a question on your audition. I don't know if you want to go into Jersey Boys, but didn't you sing Duke of Earl at that cabaret show?
I did sing Duke of Earl. Yeah, that is one of my favorite songs of all time. I wanted to pull that one up. I had that one in my pocket for a long time that I wanted to like sing for something, you know. Yeah.
Well
Duke that, Earl was, out that was a later that oh no, was that an early Gene Chandler hit? Because he had, I think that was what, 61.
Yeah. And then I believe so. Yeah.
And he came out with Groovy Situation in the early 70s, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
You know. But no, I remember
with the history.
That.
I know, right?
I can't remember what I did yesterday or what I had for lunch today, but I can remember that cabaret show. And that was the ending was the best part of it. You came out, "My God, Howard, I'm so sorry. Will you ever forgive me?" now all sins are forgiven.
Yeah, we're good. Thank you.
See, well, that's the stuff that matters in life. That's why we're talking about art, because that's the most memorable thing.
Absolutely. And, absolutely.
Yeah. And John, that was really interesting when you were saying how you wouldn't have really thought to do this unless like someone told you, you know, like, "Hey, like you should go to New York." And it's like, really? Like, yeah. I feel like with people our age, like in our generation, it's either like, this is our thing from when we were 2 years old, or someone has to tell you that you can do something and then you'll give it a try. It's kind of like, right? It's like you're Lea Michele in Glee or you're blissfully unaware. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to have that medium.
It's very true. That's
especially
that's
when
a
it
bomb.
Comes to the arts or, you know, anything creative, even sports, you know, it's like,
right.
Oh yeah, you can play college ball. You can be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You can be on Broadway. Oh,
it's like, really? But for me, for example, because people have, you know, thankfully, like told me that, but I'm just like, but I can't even read sheet music. Like, is this the right thing for me to do? Am I taking that spot? Like,
plot twist.
Away from somebody else?
Plot twist, Ramin Karimloo doesn't read sheet music. He learned
he learned
the entirety of Les Mis by listening to a cast recording.
Like, if you could do it, that's the thing. There's no right or wrong way to get
Sinatra
into this
couldn't
business.
Read sheet music.
Yeah, really? there's a lot of really talented people that can that are you know don't have all of the artistry that they want, but they're incredible artists in the things that they do. Yeah, of course.
Right, exactly. And that works with every industry. It's just so interesting to hear like how people really did get their
but it's
their
funny.
Foot in.
Yeah, Howard, you can tell us different. You know, no one says to you, "Hey, you could be an accountant." Did someone say that to you?
You know,
I love when Howard laughs like that.
Actually, I started out, I think my mother's prayer was that I would be a doctor. And I was really good in high school. I was in the top
1%. Every Jewish mother.
But then when I got into college, I was really, really good in math. I never quite made 800 on the SATs, but I came close. And I really, really liked math. And I really did not do well in biology. My mother had passed away by then. And then, you know, I really wanted to be an actuary, but my father then passed away. So I settled for accounting and, you know, was very good. And now the last 15 years, and thanks to you guys too, my show business career has come back again. And interviewing John Hacker, my God, that's the ultimate.
Can you tell us your audition story where Dez said something really interesting to you about what you did?
Yeah, Dez. Oh my gosh, auditioning for Dez is the most fun. It really is. It's so my final callback for Jersey Boys. I went in and there were like, so first of all, like, if you want to hear my audition story, I don't know if I've told you guys my audition story. I went in for an open call for Jersey Boys.
Well, nice. I don't know it, so go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. So I went in for an open call. So Taryn, my wife, who I loved dearly, went to a woman's call like at like 10 a.m. And she was like, "Hey, I'm going to go sign up for this thing. It's a Jersey Boys audition." She's like, "Oh, wait, no, it's in the afternoon. There's a guy's in the morning. You should go because I'm going to go anyways and like sign up for like, you know, sign up for, you know, your the non-equity stuff and all that stuff and the signups." And so
going in
I
at
went
5 a.m., 6 a.m.
Yeah. Exactly. I went in with her to like do that. So I was like, well, the guys are auditioning, so I'll sign up. I was equity at that time because I had already been on I had already established myself. I was on a national tour of Newsies. Right. So I'd already had my card. So which was a great step for me. So I was like, well, I'll, and she was like, how easy could it be? Just go to audition. And I was like, okay. I'm reluctant to audition for Jersey Boys. I don't know why. I'm sorry. I was reluctant. Yeah, I'm so sorry. And I don't know why. I was just like, I was kind of tired that day. And I was like, okay, all right, I'll go audition. I need to audition. I went and I sang this song, Cry, from Forever Plaid. And I went and Mary was in my audition. She was the only one in my audition. And she was like, okay. She's like, can you stick around and do a little dance? And I was like, yeah, sure. And
do a little dance.
Yeah, do a little
Make
dance.
Make a little
yeah.
love. Get down tonight.
Yeah. And I'll never forget this. Candy Boyd taught my
dance call. Oh my God, I love her.
Candy Boyd, oh my gosh, I love her dearly. She taught my dance call and there were like six of us they asked to dance. And after that, they were like, okay, well, thank you guys. And I didn't hear really anything for like, it'd been like a couple of days. And I was like, okay, that was fun. As a Jersey Boys audition. 4 days later, I got an email saying, we're inviting you to Frankie Valli Camp.
Hey.
And I was like,
who'd you get the email from Mary?
I got the email from it was from Tara Rubin's office. Yeah. Okay. I got to inviting me to this Frankie camp they had, which, you know, I bet you've had people talk about Frankie camp. It's a 3-day intensive
big time.
Oh yeah. Vocals, dance, Danny Austin, Katie Agresta, you know, all the good things.
Who was your acting coach?
Acting coach was Richard Hester.
Richard, okay.
Wow, yeah. Wow.
So, sometimes Wes Tyler is there, sometimes Richard, sometimes different people.
Exactly. Yeah. So Richard was there for mine. And I remember Chris Messina and Danny Austin were both there at my dance intensive. And the music we had was Katie Agresta did our singing, which was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy, which I was like, when I saw her resume, I was like, oh my God, this is
John
awesome.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So that was an amazing experience. And basically at the end of Frankie camp, you know, they were they're so amazing in the way they do it, because they're like, you know, you guys are amazing, but we don't have anything right now. Like, we'll call you when we have something. Like, we love all of you. You guys were all did great work. Like, we really like you as Frankie or like Joe, whatever, you know. So I was like thinking, I'll never even. That was in January of 2016.
Oof, Maron.
That was in January 2016, and I was like, oh, okay, that's good. And I went on with my life. I got some good, cool auditions after that, going off my life. In March of that year, right at the day of my birthday, which is very weird, very like
winter
cosmic
March.
Energy kind of thing.
Oh, wait, March 8th when's your birthday?
Is my birthday. When's my March? March. Oh,
it's not good.
I got what you meant, though. It's my birthday is March 8th. So on my birthday, I got the email that that they were looking for, that I got an appointment to come in for Joe Pesci, understudy Frankie on Broadway. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. I was like, there's an opening. I was like, that's amazing. And so I went to the audition, but I was like, you know, thinking always in the back of my head, I was like, there's a national tour of this. There's like all this stuff. Like, there's no way they're going to just hire me as a new hire for like the Broadway company. Okay, just go and do your thing, John. Okay, do your thing. I went in, did my spiel, and made it to like final callbacks for this. And it was an incredible experience, and I'll never forget it. And it was like I went back like three times, and on the very final time, Dez and all people, Ron, all everybody's in the room, and I was doing my Joey stuff, and they were taping it, and they wanted to hear the Joey scene one more time. The first Joey scene was Tommy, I got your fourth guy, the very first one. And I did it once, and Dez was like, all right, let's do that again. He's like, I like the way you make Tommy look like a fucking idiot. And I was like, what? And he was like, pardon my language, but I know it's Jersey boys.
Oh, no, yeah, you're good. Exactly.
I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, no, I like how you make him look like an idiot. Like, keep doing that. And I was like, okay. And I, you know, me just being in the room, I was just very comfortable with them in the room. I was comfortable with like the group of people. I just felt like a good energy. And after that, I was just did my thing. I was like, hey, well, you must like it. So I did the same exact thing. And, you know, it's one of the moments I'll remember forever. About a week later, I was in my survival job and I was like wiping tables, and I got a call from my agent, and he was like, hey man, do you want to be in Jersey Boys? And I flipped, man. I was like, it was like the restaurant wasn't even open. I was like the one opening the restaurant, and I was like running around like, oh my God. So I was like, when do they, that was beginning of April. And I was like, when do they want me to like start? They were like Monday. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
Oh,
and
my God.
Go ahead. Do you ever watch The Nanny?
No, you're good. You're good. Do you ever watch The Nanny?
The Nanny with Fran Drescher? Yes,
yeah,
of course.
So,
yeah, I love The Nanny.
Because all I can imagine is this: once you got that phone call. So there's an episode where everyone goes out of town except for Niles, the butler, and then it's like it's like an empty house, not empty, but just like no one's there, and then Niles just slides in on his socks. I got that old town rock and roll.
The Risky Business Move.
That was literally from.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Learn something new every day, but that's literally what I was doing in that restaurant.
That's what I imagined.
I was like smashing salt. No, I'm kidding.
How does that work? What about the whole 2 weeks notice?
After you finish, I have a comment.
Oh yeah, 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, please.
Let me tell you, and this, believe me, this isn't too. Suck up or anything, John, but we have met, as you said, several times. And my comment isn't original either, because a lot of this increased during the pandemic, where I'm on a bunch of Zoom calls. I know Gia and David were on one before every John Lloyd Young concert. All the Jersey Boys get on a Zoom call. And a lot of us, and I'm on a Broadway group where we go on a Zoom call as well. That's the group that I'm going to see Foster with at the end of March. Mm. But anyhow, Everybody has comments about different actors. You know, some people love someone, another person will say, I don't like this one, and someone will pipe up, I don't like him either. But you know something? I think now that with social media the way it is, I think it's very difficult to hide. And seriously, I think from the very beginning, even that night with the Facebook acceptance, you come across as a real, real nice guy. And they're actually, I don't think there's ever been a Jersey Boy person that hasn't taken a picture with me. There was only one at the opening in LA that said maybe later, and I never saw her again. But, you know, but you come across really well. And I wonder if your personality comes through like that also. I'll make another comment that on John Lloyd Young's last interview, the interviewer asked him, who would you rather work with, Elvis Presley or Bing Crosby? And he said, Bing Crosby might be talented, but he's not a nice man. I'd rather work with Elvis Presley, regardless of anything. So I have to wonder whether that came through. I mean, there are a few that I think just came through from the very beginning. Doug Crawford's one of them. Christian Hoff is another one. Jake Speck is another one. Mike Backus is another one. Just people that I don't know if you know all of them, but you know, people that I liked absolutely immediately. David Benary and Geodoxy are two others.
Howard Tucker was one of them.
Yep. Top of the list.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's high praise. That's high praise for sure.
Yeah, no, it's true, John. Really, like you're so wonderful. I mean, thank you so much for taking the time just to talk about this too. And
oh
just,
my
just,
gosh, of course.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and like more existential things too. Because just tying it back to Jersey Boys and the characters. So we were talking about way earlier about, you know, it's like, is this really what I wanted to do? Like, so do you think, I'm just trying, like when you're playing Frankie, right before I Can't Give You Anything But Love. Like, do you think Frankie wants to do this for a living, or do you think he's just having fun and he's influenced by Tommy?
No, that's a really good question. I think, you know, I think he's enamored by Tommy. I think he thinks he's such a cool guy, and he wants to be, he knows he can, I think he loves to sing, and I think he loves music. I think he loves and wants to be around music, but I think he's more, or like, that guy's awesome up there. Like, I want to be like him. And that, I think, is the spark. I mean, if you want to go back to like the chicken or the egg, I mean, maybe his love of music sparked him going there to like see Tommy, to like want to be like Tommy. You know what I mean? But I do think Tommy was, I mean, he was the person that put Frankie up on stage. I for sure think that we wouldn't have Frankie Valli today if it weren't for Tommy DeVito, you know?
Can I ask you a question about the road as well, being on the road?
Please.
And
please,
I'm going to equate this to myself. And this is not original. I talked about this with Ben Bogan. I don't know if you know Ben. I love Ben.
I do.
Really?
Yeah,
really
Ben's a great guy.
Great guy. Anyhow, when we were talking, Ben said sometimes being on the road is almost a vacation. And I'll give you an analogy that I have. I was with Bank of America for a little over 20 years. And I toured all over the world with the bank. I was on the road about 50% of the time, a lot in Europe, but in American Samoa, in South America. And I actually went with people. I had a really good group, including the best boss in the world. And I would go with someone, and it would be like I would have a friend. And yes, we worked hard during the day, but we got to tour all the sites. I saw Rio de Janeiro. You know, I saw, of course, American Samoa. I've been to Hawaii twice. And it's almost like, in a way, it is a vacation. And, you know, for me, I've been alone for quite a long time. I lost my parents early, and it was sort of a camaraderie with people. And anyway, that I didn't start that. Ben had told me that, you know, he feels the same way about something like that. How do you feel about that?
You
go with your wife a lot, don't you?
I do. Okay. I travel with her, actually, because it's to me, it's, you know, traveling is, it does feel like a vacation in the way like that. I think, you know, vacations feel very, you know, living out of a suitcase is an art that's difficult, but it's doable, but it gets tough after a while. You know what I mean? Like, the vacation aspect of it is great when you're, you know, in places that are, you know, it feels like a vacation when you're like, the weather is really nice, honestly, when it feels like vacation. Other times it feels like work to me, you know, it really does. Cause I think that the traveling I take as a part of my work, because I'm very much a homebody. I like to, you know, make places feel like home, and I love a routine. Like, when I'm Frankie, I have such a routine. And so when I'm on the road, I kind of make my hotel room kind of my like apartment, really. Like, I'm like, all right, I need my steamer there. I need all right, my tea's, I need my tea working over there. You know, it's you know, it's very, I need all my things. I take my job very seriously and I take what I do like seriously, not too seriously, but I take myself seriously. And, but the thing that I love is seeing the different cities and seeing the different cultures and seeing the different people. And that's what Taryn and I love to do. That's why, like, we love to travel like to Europe. We love to see different cultures and experience all that stuff. It's something that makes us really happy. Experience the different towns in the U.S. It's amazing to see all the people and the different audiences for Jersey Boys is incredible. Yeah. Like to hear what they react to, what they don't react to.
I guess, you know, it's hard sometimes to gauge how an audience, not really because if they either like it or they don't, you know, but you know, when you stay for one night or two nights, it can be hard, you know, those one nighters, yeah. Those two nights. And I, you know, we looked at the tour schedule for when you guys started up again in December. I mean, thankfully you guys do have some, you know, nice 1 week, sometimes 2 week sit downs, which is, yeah. You know, very nice.
Yeah, we've got some nice cities and some nice like markets coming up that are going to be really great. And like a lot of people are going to come see the show, I think, for sure.
And,
yeah.
And you know, a common tenet of, you know, many acting techniques is, of course, you know, living truthfully, right? And, you know, just to clarify, you know, just before, you know, for our audience and for everyone, you know, whenever we talk about the Frankie and Bob and Mary, et cetera, you know, whenever we say those names, unless, you know, specifically stated, we're talking about the characters in the show, right? So, you know, with all the touring, the one night onlys, the night sometimes spent sleeping on buses, you know, when you don't necessarily have the luxury to fly or when it's whatever, I mean, like this may be far-fetched, but I don't know, like it's very, very curious. Do you think in some way, maybe unknown, it's helped you to live truthfully as Frankie Valli, especially in the second act?
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. Like I think about that every night. I think about, it's especially true on the nights that we are these one-nighters at these places that like last night, we were in Reading, Pennsylvania. And
the night before, you in Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Roanoke, Virginia. Yeah. Yeah. There were some great cities, like small cities, but great. So we went to Reading. My story was basically we went there and the venue, like our set was like, it was a small theater. It was a small space. So we were just having trouble. Like the spaces were tight. It was like New World, like fitting the tour big size into like New World, how right. like the broad the tour is. And it felt like, you know, we were on like a bus and truck, like tour, like Frankie, yeah. You know, going to these concerts every night, just getting a different audience and dealing with different circumstances
going out all over the map.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just try to embody that. And you're totally right though. And it's funny. Cause I thought about that last night. The exact moment was when I'm not so hot for the road anymore. That's what I said that. And I was like,
So Michael Bello, did he put up this tour for you guys?
Yes, he did. He did. Nice. Yes. Oh yeah. He's been fantastic. He's been out. So we saw him, in
Cleveland,
in tech,
and right? Then, you saw him first in Cleveland, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 We worked with him in Cleveland. Yeah.
Ooh, la la. We'll get to Cleveland soon. But yeah, so he came out to tech, but was he in rehearsals in the rehearsal room?
Yeah, he was there with us for towards the end of New York, and then he was there in tech, and then he came back out. He's come out quite a bit, which has been fantastic for us to, you know. It's funny because the pre-pandemic with the tour, we had a few different people sprinkled here and there. And so when we came back, you know, we had a new dynamic and Richard Hester yeah. Moved on, and Michael right. Bello came and took his spot. So I think there felt like a new kind of life to the show. There felt like a new kind of mix to it. So I think that Michael coming into the end of rehearsals, like just feeling that new flow with everybody was amazing. It was incredible. And I love what Michael's doing with it.
We have another like kind of like behind the scenes question.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes directorial thing. So when you're in the second act and Lorraine's packing up her shit, she's had about enough of it. And, you know, how are you? So I have, we've seen this done three ways. How were you, I guess, in either before the pandemic and, or both, like before the pandemic and after the pandemic, how were you directed to deliver that like speech, like before she cuts you off? Is it one, a direct address and Lorraine cuts you off? Or like as a direct address, but more talking to yourself, to the audience, and then Lorraine cuts you off? or like you're just pacing around the room, like actually talking to her?
That's an interesting question, because, you know, I've the only way that I've ever done it and I've ever known to do it and was told from the beginning, and I still make this choice to the day, is like I'm talking to myself. Okay. Like this is like almost, this is like I'm talking to myself. You're talking about, you're talking about the rant right after like she disappears 2 days.
Yeah, no, exactly. Phone
calls, that one. Yeah. Yeah, that's always just been a thing to me. Like, but what's so interesting is you bring that up, is I think like that as a direct address is so interesting to me. And I want to try that. I want to ask my, cause that's interesting to me. I've always just never done it as, this is Frankie just in his own world. It like, as Lorraine's packing up, being like, where the fuck is she? She's been gone 2 days. Like she's the drugs, right? The kids with the drugs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's how I've always played it. Well, I love the concept of time jumps, like going back and like flashbacks, and I love how Jersey Boys is like it's like a movie, like, you know what I mean? It's so smart. And like I had Richard Hester told me once, he was like, this is the hardest show, I don't know if he ever told you guys this, he was like, this is the hardest show to note and to like give notes, because the show like makes you like look at the next thing. Like you're never like, if you've seen the show a bunch of times, you know, even after you've seen the show a bunch of times, you're still like drawn, your eyes drawn to like where it makes you like go to. And Hester has always said that. He was like, it was so hard to take notes, because I always be like, I need to watch someone like take a table off, but I'm like, oh, there's where Tommy is. Oh yeah, Frankie's there. Like, you know, it makes mm-hmm. you, it's just brilliant in the way it's staged like that. It's just brilliant.
Has Dez, or have you ever heard of Dez's favorite character?
Ooh la la.
Ooh,
or any
I don't, I'm trying to think of just like the time that I've spent with him and like the things that he said, like if I thought there was a character, you know, I think he loves Tommy, and he loves Tommy's, I think if he could play someone, he would play Tommy. I think he would play
Oh
Tommy.
Yeah,
I agree.
Oh
yeah,
yeah, but I don't know if that's his favorite character though. Like I don't know,
I could see him playing Norm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could see Dez playing Norm. Just like
he also loves
all the mafia characters.
Just for
yeah,
fun.
Exactly. Jip. Oh my gosh, yeah, he'd be a great Jip too. But he loves Mary too. Like I think he loves the character of Mary too. Like I don't know. It's great. I would say Tommy though is one of his favorites.
I definitely want to see Dez McAnuff kiss John Hacker over a pizza.
He got a nickel.
Awesome. Well, we have one more question.
Please.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there anything you can tell us about your experience in Jersey Boys Live where you played Joe Pesci?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, so what I will say about it is we had an amazing, amazing experience over the summer. And I don't know, like what people have told you, we had an amazing experience, and we had so much, like there was like so much hard work put into this, so much teamwork. It's literally a love letter to Jersey Boys, and I can't wait for people to see it. I don't know when we're gonna see it. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm in it. To be honest with you, I'm kidding.
No, but it's funny though. It's funny because you like when you I've never had this experience before, but like, you know, watching TV and watching movies, you know, about this kind of shit, you know, it's like, oh, I don't know if my piece is going to make it in. I don't know if they're going to cut me. I think this is one thing that you film that you
never have to worry.
I can maybe be sure.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much be sure. Hey, if you see this, hey guys, if you see this on HBO Max or Amazon Prime or Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus,
John Hacker's going to be.
I should probably know this, but is it a reenactment of the stage play or is it a movie?
So it's like Hamilton or Newsies or where they filmed or Come From Away, they filmed the show.
On stage.
Okay. On stage. In stage.
Is that's right, right, John?
Okay.
That's a pretty accurate assessment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a pro shot.
John,
what
did you play? Obviously, I know you weren't Frankie. Were you Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
You sound like Larry David.
I've heard. I don't know. Maybe. I'm sorry. I'm so my PR person's like,
get the fuck out of here. No, that lamp played Joe Pesci.
Right.
Behind him.
Yeah. Right. This guy. Yeah. He was great. I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
Well, I have to say. So, well, on IMDb, the cast is there. It's public information now.
Yeah, so
does it say who's playing?
That guy's definitely in it.
So how did you get approached to do this? Like, were there auditions? Was it kind of like randomly? Did you get a phone call? How did it work?
Like most of the Jersey Boys things, it was, you know, I had been a part of the Jersey Boys family since 2016, and most of my Jersey Boys gigs that I had post Broadway, you know, they always reached out to me and just asked if I was interested, and you know, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. Honestly, it's a show that I never get sick of, and I'll keep coming back to as long as they wanted to have me, you know. So that's so that's basically the extent of it. It's they, you know.
Yes, yeah, so you got called to do it.
Do you like to do Jersey Boys? I was like, yeah, absolutely. There's like, you know,
it's that's so cool.
Yeah, so. And you know, with the gift that keeps on giving, I think you know this, and the G and Domino, with the last few weeks with the virus, a number of people have been called back that have been away for several years, like Ben and
Natalie Gallo, Gardner, and Kylie. Yeah.
I know some people, amazing people for this, who thought they were probably done with the show. I mean, I doubt like some of those people thought they would ever do Jersey Boys again. Like, and yeah, I keep coming
and
back to
John.
It.
But John is in the show for the foreseeable future.
Yeah,
John Gardner is in the show for the foreseeable future, and hopefully Rory Max Kaplan gets well soon. But yeah. Kit Therese is in the show for the foreseeable future too.
Yeah, it's incredible. I'm glad. I'm so happy the opportunities people are getting, and like I when we were. We had a week off due to some COVID stuff. And I know Justin Allbinder got to come to New York, like you guys were talking about, which was incredible. He got to make his like New York debut as Frankie, which is amazing.
Sick.
You know,
sick.
Giving some great people some opportunities that, you know, coming back to Jersey Boys. It's awesome. Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen or listened to I Love You, You're Perfect Now Change?
Oh, yes. Oh, so I love that show, actually.
I keep coming back.
Oh, yeah. That should be the theme song for Jersey Boys, honestly. Like, literally, we should do that song like a bunch of us, like a
in a different version of the show, so you know, because I have this thing where I would, you know, in newer productions of shows, I would like certain characters to sing certain things. So in Shrek the musical, I definitely want Pinocchio to sing Wait for It from Hamilton. You
know? Yes. We need to do that. We need to do like a mashup of a show and just put like different songs from different shows and just make one big story, like meld story. That'd be cool.
Exactly.
and then instead of, you know, chasing the music, trying to get back home, I keep coming.
I've always wanted, you know, this is a very unpopular opinion, and I may get in trouble for saying this, but I would love the song Grease by Frankie Valli, and I always make the joke to where I want so bad just to be like, that was the best. Anyway, here's Grease. Like I want to. Anyway, I just want like that's why like he, because you can't really like fit Grease into Jersey Boys, but like that's how he would fit it in. Which is like, anyway, here's Grease.
Exactly.
Like,
that's
what I
you know
to
what?
Say.
I
think that would be a great post curtain call.
Yeah.
We should. I mean,
you might be right. Yeah.
It'd be so fun.
Listen, Des, we got some notes for you.
I got an idea for the revival.
hey, listen, before we close, I really want to say something, okay, guys? Listen, thank you so much. Obviously, you know, I told you I'm right on the cusp of 71, and I think for all three of you, really, I'm not worried about you guys. I think the best is yet to come for all of you. I may not be around for all of it, honestly, but, you know, you've given me a real purpose to go for the next few years. And thank you, John. It really, really was terrific. It was a pleasure. I knew it would be coming on. Of course, I know G and David really well. But thank you, man. You really, really, what word am I looking for? Uplifted my day, my month, my birthday month. Thank you, man.
Well, that means the world. That's high praise for sure. And I happy early birthday, by the way. Seriously, happy early birthday. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Howard. And thank you, David and Gia, so much for doing this. Like this is such like an amazing podcast. And I think everyone should have such a love for Jersey Boys like you guys. This show is so amazing. And I love it. So thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
John, a salute.
A salute. I'll get my Jersey Boys. Oh, yeah, a salute. Jersey
Boys. Oh, look at that, man.
Here's some hand sanitizer for you.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Howard, so much for coming on. It's been a while. So.
Okay, yeah, you're welcome. I really loved it.
Life hacks with John Hacker.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, come see Jersey Boys. We were in Minneapolis, and we're heading out to the Pacific Northwest. We're going to be in Seattle in the next couple weeks.
By the time this airs... Because this is gonna.
Oh end. Yeah, I got a plug.
You guys will be
in Texas.
Yeah, you guys will be in El Paso.
Nice.
Pueblo, Colorado.
Lincoln,
Nebraska.
All over the map. Seriously.
Come see us in Jersey, boys. Just come see us all over the map.
You're gonna be at Buddy Holly Theater in Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah.
Anyway, John, asalud. Have a beautiful rest of your night off. And your next show is tomorrow, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We start back up tomorrow. So yeah.
Smash it up.
It's back to leg. It.
Smash it up,
thanks
bro.
So much.
Break legs and.
Please give Pretty our love.
Yes.
Oh, we sure will. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll give everyone your love.
All right. Love you, brother. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Thank
Good
you,
night, guys. Thank you.
See you guys.